It's just Avi Amari, Mimi Marasi, Chai Verayai. The 2 days, Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, didn't want to learn and want to have some Hisayrus. And I hope that Hashem's Baruch will help us. To enter into the world of Yom Kippur. I want to thank all the chaverim for taking care of everything, the shul, all the arrangements. I want to thank also Harry Kadowitz, Bobby Blaschke, for sponsoring the Joshua, Shlias Chus, Refuah Shleima, for Yosef Alexander and Bailey Yehudis, should have a full frame of Sashar Chol Yisrael. I also want to mention, some people asked me from other places, that tomorrow morning I'm going to be giving a Chazar Shia for this, a shorter version of this, in Great Nekim Yitzhashem. So if it was unclear now, you'll be even more confused tomorrow. This year we have the Gewaldige Schuss of Yom Kippur coming out on Shabbos. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Imenoyim, the other Tzaddikim, the Megala, they revealed a side, a very deep secret, that when Yom Kippur's Shabbos means that we have a ticket into that world of Yomalei Shom Yisrael Shtei Shabbosais Miad Negol. Chazal have taught us that if we would keep two Shabboses, we would certainly be immediately redeemed. And there are many explanations of what that means, two Shabboses. Yibo Hashem, we try to keep Shabbos every week. The Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that there's a special, unique opportunity. Shabbos Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, of course, is Shabbos Shabbosai. It's the Shabbos of all Shabbos. And Shabbos is Shabbos. And Yomolei Shom Yisrael Shtei Shabbosais. Yomolei Shom Yisrael Shtei Shabbosais. If only. We would be able to keep these two Shabboses when they interface, when they merge, which is next Shabbos. When Miad Negolim, we would be immediately redeemed. As a people and each person can find redemption. Yom Kippur Shabbos, Shabbos Yom Kippur, those two worlds come together. Each one is Shabbos. Imolei Shom Yisrael Shtei Shabbosais, Miad Negolim. So, I was thinking a lot about this the other day, and I decided that I wanted to talk to the Chevra about this special Shabbos Yom Kippur, and to try to understand on our level, what's the Nekuda HaPnimis, what's the inner point, what's the Chiddush of Shabbos Yom Kippur? What we could think about Shabbos Yom Kippur. In order to understand this, and in order to come as Hashem to that Nekuda HaPnimis, we need to speak about the remarkable halacha. The Torah in Sim Tov Resh Yud Ches brings the name of his father, the Rosh, and I'm asking you to try not to tune out. I know there are some who wait till the post-halacha part of the Rosh. You'll find that there isn't much of that tonight. It's important to pay close attention because I believe that in this halacha is the site of Shabbos and Kippur. the tour in the name of the Rosh, at the end there, Tafresh Yudches, in the name of his father, tells us the din of a chayla, of a sick person, lo aleinu, who is in danger, and as a result of that, this individual must eat on Yom Kippur. So the tour brings from his father the Rosh, that that person has to eat a regular meal. It's not enough for him to have a little bit at a time, but he has to have a regular meal on Yom Kippur. That the din is that he has to say Yom Kippur in benching. And he has to say Alevi Ovo. He has to mention Yom Kippur in benching. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens according to this Rosh. However, the Magen Avraham brings in the name of Rabbi Avigdor Kayin Tzadik, who disagrees. And Rabbi Avigdor Kayin Tzadik holds that this can't be. The Etzim is forbidden to eat on Yom Kippur. The Mikra, unfortunately, due to this individual's circumstances, that his life is chalila in danger, so because of that, he is permitted to eat. And therefore, as far as that individual's eating is concerned, unfortunately, it's like a Monday or a Tuesday. It's like a regular day of the week. Therefore, the Magen Avraham brings this view that there's no kiddush that you make over such eating, and you don't say anything in benching if the person washed and has to bench. Because to say Alevi Yavo, to say a special Azkara in benching for a yontiv, or a shchadish, whatever it might be, that's when the food or the meal that you're partaking in is a sudas mitzvah. But the eating is an act of mitzvah. But in this situation, it's rachmanis. The person has to eat, the delay is greater. His life is in danger, could potentially be in danger. And therefore, the Magen Avraham brings this view. There's no kiddush, there's no special mention of Yom Kippur in benching. The question, however, is when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, this becomes more interesting and more complicated. When Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, because as far as the Shabbos Dikir aspect of that day, as far as Shabbos is concerned, Lemaisa, there certainly is a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. And there's a takana that when a person eats on Shabbos, naturally, he has to include Shabbos in his benching. Comes with kiddush, comes with Tzevachli saying that we have to mention Shabbos and benching. If a person is healthy and well, Mitzvah Shem, we should all be, and all Jews should be next Shabbos healthy and well. If a person is healthy and well, then we understand that the Suda Shabbos is set aside, drifts into the background, because there's a chiyuv of Inui and Yom Kippur. Because of the obligation to afflict oneself on Yom Kippur. In the case of a person who's not well, that obligation to afflict oneself by not eating is pushed aside because of the din of what? Of pikuach nefesh. Because of the value of this individual's life. So here we have a question that perhaps when Shabbos comes out, when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, and we have an individual who has to eat that Yom Kippur, that maybe in that situation, because Yom Kippur is, or the din of inui, of not eating in Yom Kippur, is pushed away because of this individual's condition, that perhaps the normal status of the day is resumed, and the normal status of this day is Shabbos. Remember, that's looming in the background of Shabbos Yom Kippur, it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of Oinik Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to delight in Shabbos. The Rambam holds that it's a deraisa. There's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, Oinik Shabbos. So therefore, it could be that in the case of this person who can't fast on Yom Kippur, Shabbos then, Shabbos takes over. As far as the Indian of eating is concerned, Shabbos takes over. It would be required to make Kiddush, and it would be required to mention Shabbos in benching, in Birchas HaMazon. And as odd as this sounds to us, if you look there in Shulchan Aruch and Hagoyis of Rabbi Akiva Eger, Rabbi Akiva Eger paskins this way la'alach, that a person who's not well and has to eat on Shabbos Yom Kippur, that person makes Kiddush, and he has to, during benching, he has to mention Shabbos. You've never heard of such a thing, yeah? A person doing that. And the truth is that it has not been accepted in general by the poskim, this view. And the normative behavior of a choylo who has to eat a regular meal on Shabbos Yom Kippur in halachi is not to make kiddush. Not to make kiddush, not to say anything special during the bench. The question is, why not? What happened to Shabbos in all of the confusion? What happened to Shabbos? There's a mitzvah of Oinik Shabbos. So Nebuch, the person that has to eat, he can't fast. So you would think that under those circumstances, Shabbos clicks right back in to place. What happened to Shabbos? That's not what we do. That's not what's done. One doesn't make kiddush. So listen to the words of the Or HaSameach. The Meir Simcha says, he talks about this inyan, and he paskins l'halacha, not to make kiddush, not to say by benching. But I want you to hear in a very, very real way, why? Why is that? What happened to Shabbos? Because it's going to open us up to opening our hearts to Shabbos Yom Kippur, and to be a little bit better this year, if not much better, and to take advantage of the unique mitzvah that we have this year, Shabbos Yom Kippur. The Or HaSameach, and Avodas Yom HaKippurim, if you take a look there, you'll see in the fourth parak, he concludes with the following. V'lachein b'yom HaKippurim shechal b'Shabbos. When Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, b'chol she'yesh by sakana she'tzarech la'achol, the person is, God forbid, in danger and he has to eat, moira ani deloy mekadesh gam al Shabbos. The Or HaSameach says that I paskin, but you don't make kiddush Shabbos Yom Kippur. Why not? So he says this. The zu kedushas Shabbos oz, because this itself is the kedusha of Shabbos. Shaloi lechol ba. In other words, the oinig of Shabbos, the delight of Shabbos, the pleasure of Shabbos, the Or HaSameach says, is observed on Yom Kippur. Shaloi lechol ba. By not eating on Yom Kippur. Upashat, he says. And this is obvious. not so obvious. So let's try to understand. What's the Ursa Mech saying? He's giving us a key to unlock the mystery of Shabbos and Kippur. What does it mean? I'm sure many of you here know that the Rambam has an unusual title for the halachas of Yom Kippur. What am I talking about? What is the label that the Rambam gives? One has to pay attention to every word in the Rambam, even the koteret, even the title. What does the Rambam call the halachas of Yom Kippur? Shvisas ha'osah. Shvisas ha'osah. Shvisa means what? Usually means rest or a pause in work, stopping. In modern day Eretz Yisrael, the word shvita means a strike, but it's the same thing. It means, classically, the word shvisa means where there's melacha, where a person is working, and halacha comes along, or something else comes along and says, maspik, adkan, you have to stop. Shvita, shvisa. The Rambam calls all the halachas even kippur, hilchas shvisas ha'osa. The halachas of shvisa of the 10th day of Tishrei Yom Kippur. So you might think that the Rambam is talking about the Issur Melacha, right? That the Rambam is talking about the prohibition to work on Yom Kippur. And the same way there's a din of shvisa when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Rambam is telling us that there's a din of shvisa that one has to stop working on Yom Kippur. But listen to his words. In the first parak, Halacha Dal, Mitzvah Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim, V'Lishbais Me'Achila Ushasiyah. And the other things. There's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur, Lishbos, to take a rest, a break, to stop the work. Of what? Achila and Ushasiyah. Of eating and drinking. Lishbais Me'Achila Ushasiyah. The Rambam is telling us an unbelievable chiddush. The Rambam is telling us an unbelievable chiddush. Normally, shvisa, throughout halacha, shvisa is talking about the responsibility for a person to be noch, to rest, to be shoyves from working. And here the Rambam defines our responsibility to refrain from eating and drinking as shvisa. Now, it might be that over the course of these past 3 days, some of us have felt we put a lot of work into that. I know the women have put a lot of work into getting it ready. As far as the guys are concerned, it doesn't take that much effort to eat. In fact, in most of the world, it seems that the effort is, how does one stop eating? And the Rambam tells us the gewaltige chiddush. The Rambam says over here, all of Hilchos Yom Kippur are called Shvisas Ha'osa. The term that usually defines the act or the refraining from action, which is Shvisa, the Rambam applies to eating and drinking, Lishbais Me'achilu Ushasiyah. Instead of using the term of the Torah, instead of calling these the halachas of inui or inuye Yom HaKippurim, meaning affliction or deprivation and so on, depriving the body of food and drink, the Rambam uses the word shvisa. Shvisa, which means taking a break, taking a rest, a day off. It means a day off. There's a maimon of tzaddikim. The tzaddikim have said, it's in the name of a few different tzaddikim. The tzaddikim have taught that there are two halachas that are written in Shulchan Aruch. And we don't know why they needed to be written. Two halachas that are written in Shulchan Aruch, and we don't know why they had to be written. The first is the Isser to eat on Tisha B'Av. And the second is the Isatit and Yom Kippur. Why wouldn't they have to be written? So the Tzaddikim said, who feels like eating on Tisha B'Av? Who could possibly have an appetite on Tisha B'Av? It takes away your cheshek. Who feels like eating on Tisha B'Av? You don't need a halach to say. The person is walking along like Rabbi Akiva in the Tanoim. He's standing by the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. Or if you fast forward and the person is sitting, he's visiting in a concentration camp. Who has a cheshek to eat? So Tisha B'Av, the Tzaddikim say, Tisha B'Av, mi yochel le'achal? Who can eat on Tisha B'Av? And Yom Kippur also doesn't have to be written. Why? Because Yom Kippur, mi tzarech le'achal? Who needs to eat on Yom Kippur? On Tisha B'Av, who can eat, who has an appetite to eat? On Tisha B'Av. And in Yom Kippur, mi tzarech le'achal? Who needs to eat on Yom Kippur? This is a very, very deep teaching of the Tzaddikim. And what it means on a very simple level is that there's such a thing that on Yom Kippur, we have to try to imagine ourselves this way. There's such a thing in Yom Kippur that a person is able to lift himself up, to be lifted up to a madrega where he simply has no need to eat or drink. He's in such a different place. He's in such a different mindset. He doesn't need to eat or drink. Which means, when the Rambam defines fasting as shvisa, as resting, as taking a break, the Rambam is telling us that it's possible for each and every one of us on Yom Kippur to reach such a place of clarity, to reach such a place of having such a geschmack in being a Jew, having such a geschmack in talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the cumbersome, annoying, distracting demands of the body, of physical life, cease. They stop. That tircha, the tircha of life, the tircha of those desires that make us crazy, the never-ending desires of this world that are pounding away in a person's brain throughout the year, and he's struggling and fighting somehow, to save himself from drowning in the noise, in the turbulence of the Eight Sahara of this world, that somehow in Yom Kippur, it's possible to reach a level, not just possible, it's Hilchas Shvisas Pe'asar Lishbois Me'achilu Shasiyah. It's possible on Yom Kippur for a Jew to come to that point of who he really is, where this world is an annoying distraction to Avodas Hashem, where the noise of this world has no ability to drown out the sound of his own soul, where he's able to have a rest, a reprieve, a break, for that one day of the year, like you and I feel a little bit, we taste of that for a moment. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. That there isn't one of us, there isn't one of us, one Jew who shema mitzvahs, even many of the Jews who don't observe mitzvahs. That if you'd walk over to that person, as I've mentioned many times over the years, if you'd walk up to the person when he's saying his third Hashem Elokim, and you'd ask him, what happened to the Yankees today? There isn't one person that wouldn't look at you like you're that you're insane.
Even though any other time, even on a, I'm sorry to say, even on a Shabbos, or even on a Yom Tov, that would be an important piece of conversation by many individuals, or other such things. But if anybody would be approached by Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and someone asking them, so what do you think? What do you think of the Yankees this year? Or other such questions. Did you have a chance to see what's on the other side of the Mechitza this Yom Kippur? Well, there's such interesting questions that normally throughout the year could interest a person here or there. The Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us a Shvisa, Shabbos. Where for that time, for this entire day, after Elul Shonan, the whole thing, comes to Yom Kippur, with the noise and the turbulence, is transformed into silence. And for the first time, a person is able to feel that the most natural, enjoyable thing in my life is to say these words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. And to be in a room with people like yourself, to be in a room with other Yidden, V'achinu Kol Beis Yisrael, who like you haven't eaten, who like you have been davening their hearts out the whole day, who like you have gone through the Slichus and Rosh Hashanah, thinking, trying each person. Like that marshal that I've mentioned many times from the PSF and the Schlusi Lani that Ishkred has said, the marshal in Derech HaMelech, about the prince who wasn't behaving. And as a result of that, he was sent away, and he got involved with a horrible chevra. I mean, almost all of the Mishalim begin that way. So he got involved in a horrible chevra. And they tried, the king sent this shliach and that shliach to talk to him and say all kinds of fancy things to him about what it means to be a prince. And nothing helped. There was one chacham, the Pizetan said there was a chacham, who had this new hamsah that's called a telescope. And he said, let me go to the prince. And he went over there to that town. And he set up the telescope and the prince thought, this is interesting. My father sent some new kind of a thing over here. What's this? I'm not interested in going back home. And this person set up the telescope and he had it focused on the room. That he told the king to prepare the chamber for the prince of what it's going to be like when he becomes a king. And the Pizetan said that he remembered that he was a prince. And he ended up marrying a princess and lived happily ever after. What it means is, the nimshal is obvious. That when there's that shvisa, when the turbulence of this world disappears for a brief time, when the person is able to set the telescope on something higher, Hashem Elokim Shema Yisrael, on something deeper, so then and only then is he able to remember that he's a prince, that she's a princess, and to live as a prince and princess should live. So now we can understand the Rosh Hashanah, to listen pnimius what the Rosh Hashanah is saying, and what it means Shabbos Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, there's no chiyuv at all to eat on Shabbos. Remember the question? Why doesn't it, if a person is sick and he has to eat on Shabbos Yom Kippur, then everything should just return to Shabbos. And he should have to say Kiddush, and he would have to say it in benching. And the rest of the man says no. Why? Again, the words of the Rosh Hashanah. Shezu Kedusha Shabbos Oz, because the Kedusha, the holiness of Shabbos, when it comes out in paper is not eating. All of the pleasure, all of the oinig, all of the delight, all of the geschmack of the super duper deluxe best challenge you ever had. With Kiske and Kugel, everything. All of that, a regular Shabbos, when it comes Yom Kippur the Kishabbos, the Or Samech says, the Zu Kedusha Shabbos, us, that the Kedusha Shabbos becomes of Yom Kippur's what? It's a loyalach, not to eat. Because it's not that Yom Kippur is fighting with Shabbos. It's not that Yom Kippur is doiche. That's the question we originally had. That Yom Kippur is doiche, it overrides and pushes away the chiyuvim of Shabbos. There's something new that happens Shabbos Yom Kippur. Something different. It's not that the chiyuv to torment ourselves is stronger than the chiyuv of Oynik Shabbos, of Suda Shabbos. So even when Yom Kippur comes out Shabbos, we fast. That's altogether wrong. The Or Samech says that's wrong. The truth is, the Meir Simcha says, the truth is that when Yom Kippur comes out Shabbos, there's a new Madrega, that Madrega of Yom Kippur creates an Oynik Shabbos out of what? Out of fasting. The Shrisa from eating. The pleasure that I have to have finally a break from the Yankees. A break from what's going on in the world. A break from the newspaper, a break from the BlackBerry, a break from all of that stuff. A complete and total silence of this world, where there's only one sound, Hashem Hu Elokim. The Oynik Shabbos takes place as a result, like the Rambam says, Lishbois Miachila Ushasiyah. On a regular Shabbos, a person is not on such a level. And that's not the avodah of a regular Shabbos. That's not the avodah of a regular Shabbos. We're not going to talk now about the inyan of eating on Shabbos. We learned in the Mamorim from the Baal HaTanya, in the Chabura, a lot about that. And we're going to talk about it more in Mishnah this year. We're learning about Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. We're not talking about a regular Shabbos. But the inyan of eating on a regular Shabbos is a big inyan. We're talking about Shabbos Yom Kippur. When Shabbos and Yom Kippur meet, as it's going to be next Shabbos, when Shabbos and Yom Kippur meet, there's a new madrega of oineg, of joy, of delight, of pleasure, of excitement that takes place dafka through shvisa, through stopping, through disconnecting, detaching myself from the pleasures of physical life. It's a new oinik. Normally we associate fasting with misery and suffering. And there's something about that on Tisha B'Av, right? That's what it's about really on Tisha B'Av. The fasting of Yom Kippur, when it meets up with Shabbos, reveals to us this Metzius, that there's no mitzvah of Suda Shabbos at all. That was the question. If a sick person or a lady has to eat on Shabbos, why doesn't he make Kiddush? Eat on Yom Kippur Shabbos, why doesn't he make Kiddush? What about the mitzvah of what? Of eating on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. So he's sick, therefore the Torah tells him he has to eat. So if he has to eat, he should make Kiddush and bench for Shabbos. Why not? What happened to the Suda Shabbos? The answer is that one does not make Kiddush, and one does not have a Suddhist Shabbos, even though this, unfortunately, this person is not well, he has to eat. But it's Rachmanis that he has to eat. If you ask any Jew that because of his age or his sick or his physical condition, that he has to eat on Shabbos, he would cry to you that this is the most unfortunate day of my life, that I have to eat on Yom Kippur? Look what's become of me that I have to eat on Yom Kippur. And he would ask him, what do you mean? You enjoy fasting? Look what, you have such a mazel. You went to the doctor wrote your note, you took your note, you went to the Rav, and the Rav told you, you can eat this Yom Kippur. You're the luckiest guy in the world. You're eating on Yom Kippur. All the Nebuchadnezzar, they're standing there in shul, they can't have anything. You're going to go home, you're going to have a meal. So do you think that Eloh Yid, who his whole life, he never missed a Tanis Yom Kippur, could be he went through who knows what in this place and that place, where he drained in life, and he went to walk on the Tzaris, but Yom Kippur was Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur was Yom Kippur, we know many stories like that. You have to drag him with chains that he should put something in his mouth. Because the Oynig Shabbos, the greatest pleasure and delight of a Jew is to serve the Creator of the world. And therefore, the Ur Sameach says, the Zu Kedusha Shabbos Oz, Shaloi Le'achal Bai. The Kedusha of Shabbos, when it meets up with Yom Kippur, is that a Jew who is lifted up to that level of being a little bit of a Malach, then he comes into that world of Malachim, when he comes into that world of Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. The truth is so clear to him. The sweetness of being a Jew, how geschmack it is to talk to Hashem is Baruch. I remember I met somebody, and he was bothered by the fact years ago, I said, who took pictures? How do you take pictures here? Must be Yom Kippur. So I said, well, you chayshed that one of the chevers, Michal Yom Kippur, and it was Yom Kippur and someone was taking pictures? No. One of the chever brought somebody and took pictures. But you should know that was already 15, 20 minutes afterwards. And if he wouldn't be worried about the physical well-being of people who need to eat very, very badly, we would be able to dance for an hour or two. I'm not suggesting that. It's more than that. But we would be able to. Those who are, thank God, are healthy, Bez Hashem, would be able to go for an hour or two. Because when you're standing here, like we were last night, by Kabbalah Shabbos, after 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, after 2 days, no showering, nothing. After 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and we're big mufunokim nowadays, and to have a Kabbalah Shabbos, and to be able to be in that place of what it means to be a Yid, there's no greater oynig in the world. The Rambam calls it Hilchas Shvitas Ha'osa, pausing and stopping and resting and taking a break from the world. And this is revealed in the deepest way, Shabbos Yom Kippur, where the Ur Sameach is telling us that is the oynig Shabbos. The real Oynig Shabbos, the Suda of Lev Yosin, of the angels, where it doesn't mean that the only way that you could fill yourself is by having the pot of Cholim. But you could fill yourself on words. What words? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokei, Hashem Echad. On words, on what words? Agit Vitl, Agit Yur, Agmach Sima Taiva. Hugging another Jew, being with other Jews, you could fill yourself mamish. An Oynig. And this is the pnimius of what tshuva means. This is what tshuva is all about. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us the deeper, deeper way to teach the words that we're going to be saying over and over, Al Chet Shechatanu, etc. Al Chet Shechatanu. So I don't know what it says in the English. How do you translate the words Al Chet Shechatanu? For this sin that we have sinned against you, I guess something like this. The pnimius is not like that. Al Cheshechatanu has a different way. There's a different way to teach Al Cheshechatanu. Let's try to think of it this year. We have to think of it on both levels. But the tzaddikim say, "Al cheshech atonu lefanecha" means that the work of Yom Kippur, the avodah of this entire time of the year, is how can I get myself to a place that is above sinning? Al chet. The whole avodah of this time of the year is the reason that I've sinned. You know why I'm sinning? Because I'm so entangled, like Chazal said about Esav, that he was hairy, and therefore when he gets into the shmutz, everything gets all entangled into his hair. But Yaakov is the ishtam, ishchalak, smooth skinned. The whole avodah of this time of the year is to be able to disentangle, to bring myself to a place of al chet. All sinning, all of our avarice are the result of living, of being immersed, of being shakua in the world. And when a person is shakua in the world, and there's no shvisa from this world, and Shabbos helps, but Shabbos doesn't get him out of the entanglement, out of the web. Or even the Moly told me so, stay Shabbos. When a person is able to come to that realization, that hergish, listen to the hergish, there are avarice in the world. Like the guy, let's go back to the guy by the third Hashem Elokim Asiyam, by Neil. He knows that the Yankees exist. And he could be that he knows how many times they won the World Series. And he knows who's the best batter and who's the best pitcher. He knows everything. But like the tzaddikim said, who needs it? That's what it means, al-chayt. Do you know there's such a tzura of a Jew where we don't have to have a constant wrestling match with evil? Where it's not a moment-by-moment battle? Where someone can tell you by Neila, you know, the Yankees, you say, I know that this is a thing called the Yankees, but I don't care about it now. I don't know, maybe later on, maybe tomorrow, maybe I will. But right now, there's something so much higher than that. There's a world that's called Al-Chayt. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we grow up, and all the shmuzim we heard were telling us about in the world of Chayt, in that sick, disgusting, polluted, filthy world of Chayt. You do this, you kick like this, you kick like that, you fire like this, you poke here, you punch there, you try to get a laser gun, you try to get a sword, you try to get an atom bomb. How do I get myself out of this mess? And then the tzaddikim came along and they said, when Hashem lowered the light of the 7 days of creation of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh into the world, and the avoid of the end of time before Mashiach comes was revealed, it was made known to us that it's possible for a Jew even now to enter into a new reshus that's called the world of Al Chet. I know that there's stuff out there. I know that there's a lot of those things out there. But you know something? There's something more beautiful that appeals to me. That's reaching into me. And I don't hear the sounds. The sounds of those things that normally in the past have tempted me. They don't interest me. And that's why it's brought down this form. When the Kohen Gadol will go in, lift them, and Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol will go in. Everybody knows that it wasn't only the Kohen Gadol. Every single Jew in the world went into the Kohen Gadol. It's just that we can't go in there. So the Kohen Gadol went in. But he went in with each and every Jew. And it means that inside each and every one of us, there's a point that's called Kohen Gadol. Mamelech HaKohanim Goy Kodesh. In each and every one of us. It makes no difference what I did in my life, what you did in your life. In each and every one of us is something that's called Kohen Gadol. And there's a world inside of us that's called Lifnei V'Lifnim, that's called the Kodesh HaKadoshim of a Jew. We taste it a little bit by Hashem or Elokim. We taste a little bit by that dance Mat Yom Kippur. And in that world, a person is Al Chet Shechatanu. Al Chet Shechatanu. He's looking at the royal chamber with a telescope. It's a higher place. What are you talking about, Narishkeit? about all those things of the world. There's something that's called the Heichal HaMelech.
Therefore, Al-Chait is the Gematria Kohen Gadol. The words Al-Chait, it's brought in this form. Al-Chait is the numerical value. Al-Chait is the same Gematria as the words Kohen Gadol.
That point of Kohen Gadol within oneself can lift him up to a place that's called Al-Chait.
And now we can understand the famous words of the Ramchal and Mesil Shasharim. At the end of the fourth parak, Ramchal is telling us what tshuva is. And he's talking to us about the miracle of tshuva. It makes the past disappear, it changes the past into the mitzvahs, right? It's a miracle. It's not anything that can be explained scientifically in this world. How tshuva works, that's why tshuva was before the world. So the Yedder Amchal uses a remarkable term. He's bringing from Chazal. The Amchal says, the Amchal calls tshuva, he defines what tshuva really is. He uses two words. Listen to these words, they're so beautiful. Akiras harasan. Akiras ayin kuf yud resh sof. Akiras harasan. Not breaking one's will. Not annihilating and nullifying one's desires or will. Ratzon means will and desire. Akira. Now those who learn the Sechta Shabbos, you meet that word right away. And everybody who learned Hilchas Shabbos knows that Akira, Ayin Kuf Yud Reish Hei, Akira means when there's a chepetz, when there's an object that's in one rishus, yeah? It's in one domain, let's say it's in the public domain, and I'm oiker that, Akira, hi? Akira means taking that from that domain, I'm oiker it, and I transfer it to another domain. That's called an halacha akira. And here, the Ramchal uses this lashon when it comes to one's will. And that tshuva, the Ramchal teaches us, means akiras harasan. Akiras Ratzon means the following. It means I have Ratzon. I have Cheshek. I'm alive. I want. I have. I'm a person that's filled with Chiyas, with life. But my Chiyas and my life are sitting beside Nirma in the world of Chet. I'm not Al Chet. I'm beside Bechet. And all of my chiyus, and all of my ratzon, is trapped in that world of darkness. And as a result of that, my life is a continuous struggle. As a result of that, my life is a mered, is to a large extent a rebellion against the Borei Olam, the Creator. Akiras HaRatzon Tshuva means it's possible for me not to break my will, not to ruin my life, not to become some empty, lifeless, boring person, but it's possible for me to take that Ratzon, that Chiyus, that life, that's sitting in the Reshus HaRabim, that's sitting in the public domain, in the cesspool that's in the public domain, and I can be oiker that ratzon, I can uproot or transfer that ratzon into another way of life, to a different account. This is called in the Svarim HaKadoshim ha'alo'as ha'ratzon, the raising up of desire, the raising up of will.
Because once you know what a chait is, what is a chait? Listen to the words of Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, what a chait, what's a sin? He says, Behetek harotzen haprati, he uses Behetek harotzen haprati, Vishtak usai bekapnus vaprapius, shall ashiv yeshi osoba. When the will of a person, when the desire of a person becomes embedded in what? In katnus, in smallness, in narishkeit, in smallness. Shall I, so, a practice shall have shiddy of the captivity, shuwa osurva. That he's mom is a prisoner. He's a prisoner in katnus, in smallness. We spoke a lot about that when we were learning Arizat Shuva. He's a prisoner of smallness. When a person becomes embedded and immersed in that smallness of this world, he is detaching his rutzen from the source of life. And he brings upon himself axios. It's a Rav Kook word. Nothingness, emptiness, axios, in the word ethos, zeroness. He brings into his life. Chalishas koyach. A chalishas, a weakening of strength. Even though you would think that all these people that are running around the world and doing whatever they want, you would think these are the most animated people. Rav Kook says these are the people in the world who are without life. Chalishas koyach. V'chashecha. And a darkening almahusa hayoyse pnimis. That sin darkens the true inner essence and life of a person. Shalatzimiyusai. That covers and conceals the true essence of the person, which is what? Hashem Ulukim, Hashem Ulukim. So therefore tshuva, since Rav Kook says that the chait is he'etek ha-rotzen, it means the taking of the rotzen away from the rishus ha-yachid of Hashem, from the rishus ha-yachid of the neshama, from the private domain of Shema Yisrael, And taking that rotzen and throwing it into the street, throwing it into the gutter, that's what a chait is. Therefore tshuva, which means to return, the Ramchal defines as what? Akiras harotzen. Akiras harotzen, which is in the front, ha'alas harotzen, the lifting up of that rotzen. The beginning point where that rotzen, where your will, where your life started, you and I are Jews. We began our journey by the Kisei HaKavod, by the throne of Hashem. That's where you and I began our journey. At some point, however, whatever happened, Kodem Kol coming to this world, and then the choices that we made in this world, have caused us to be far, far away from the Kisei HaKavod, to be far away from that point of who we are, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the Kohen Gadol, from Lifnei V'Lifnim. And we've taken ourselves away from the world that is Al Chait, and we've toiled ourselves in the world of Chait. All of Tshuva means what? Tshuva, the real meaning of Tshuva is Akiras HaRatzon from the Rishus HaRabim. Transferring my will, my life, my Chiyas, from the gutter, from the street, from the public domain, and bringing it back to the place where it began, to the Rishus HaYachid of the Yechidah Shel Olam, of the Kohen Gadol of Lifnei V'Lifnim, of the Beis HaMikdash within myself. And therefore, Rav Kook wrote a lot about this in Arizat Tshuva. If you look, we don't have time really to read now, it's getting late. We start a little bit late, and it's also Motzei Shabbos, so go a little bit longer than usual. If you look in the 12th parak of Arizat Tshuva, at the beginning, I'll just read a few sentences. Tshuva raises a person above all the meanness to be found in the world, but it does not alienate him from the world. On the contrary, he thereby raises the world and life itself with him. Those very impulses that engendered sin are refined in him. The mighty will that breaks all bounds, that influenced him to sin, the mighty will, the chiyas, the life, the energy, the screaming for the Yankees, or the screaming for whatever it is that a person is screaming about in the world, in business, whatever, that screaming, that chiyas, that will, It doesn't go away. Hashem doesn't want it to go away. Hashem wants us to reel it back in into the Rishus HaYachid and to lift up our lives in this world. The only way to do that is by having a pause, is by having a Kippur Shabbos, Yom Kippur means Shvisa. That Shvisa, Shtei Shabbos, where a person is able to feel on Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba. The Oynig, the Tamid, the deepest pleasure of what? Of I don't need to eat now. I don't need that because I have an Oynig in my life. There's something that's more valuable to me than eating. And eating and all that eating means. There's something that's more precious to me than all the things that I've gotten myself caught up in this world. The mighty will that breaks all bounds, that influenced him to sin, becomes a living force that engenders great and lofty things for good and for blessing. That's what it means to be about tshuva. That's what it means to do tshuva. And he speaks about Bali Tshuva, for they are the choicest representatives of life. He's not talking about what we call nowadays Bali Tshuva, people that didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. He's talking about people that were raised in learning and davening, and they went and they were doing other things, and then they come back, and he says, these are the choicest representatives of life, who advocate its perfection, who call for the removal of stumbling blocks, and for the return to the authentic good and true happiness toward the lofty height of true liberty, which becomes a man who ascends toward the higher realm in accordance with his spiritual origin, and his creation in God's image. That's what truth is. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said to his future brother-in-law, to Reish Lakish. What? What did he say? When he saw the strength of Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish had a past. Reish Lakish was not a tzaddik in his past. There's a question of originally what he was and what happened. That's not important for now. But Reish Lakish, at that point, when Rabbi Yochanan met him, Reish Lakish was not using his kaikas for Hashem. And you remember when Rabbi Yochanan saw the strength of the person, his kaikas, what did he say to him? No? Helchel araisa. Oh, you have such chayo, such kaikas. Laraisa. To use such kaikas. Not to break the will. Not to become empty and lifeless. Just the opposite. Laraisa, to use that to serve Hashem is born. And that is the miracle of tshuva. How is it possible that a person can change the past? How is it possible that I could take the past in my life that was filled with sins? And now, if a person comes to this level of tshuva that we're talking about, then the Zidonius Nasik Ezochius, then his past is able to be transformed. That with that Akiris Arosin is Akiris Maisir, which Ramchal talks about. How could that be? It's nothing that the human mind can comprehend. But what it means is, that person who is using his strength in this world, that person who opened his heart up to this world, that very opening of himself up to the temptations of this world, the very fact that he was a person that was alive, that very reality of being a Levitic and mensch is itself the Koyach of Tshuva. And when a person uses that energy that he was drawing from in the world of Reish Lakish before Tshuva, and now he transfers that energy. Remember, Akira means taking it from one Rishus, the energy, into a different Rishus, into the Rishus of Avodas Hashem. So now we know that all of the years of that person being up to all kinds of crazy things, running around doing this and doing that, was only a hakadama, was only, if he ends up doing tshuva, it was only a hakadama, a preparation, a hakshara, for this person to come to that place of Reish Lakish, helch, chechel araisa, mamish lo araisa. Because it's the essence and the nature of a Jew in particular to want oinig, to want to enjoy. Each and every one of us comes from Gan Eden. Each and every one of us comes from that place of the highest tannig, of the highest oinig. But oinig has pleasure, delight, excitement, life There's a time, just like you have in the laning for the Aseret HaDibros, there's a time Elyon, there's a time Tachton. Those Jews who are running around in this world, indulging in the oinig only of this world, they're tasting of that life of the will, but they're tasting from the time Tachton, from the lower will, or the lower use of man's will. Shuvah means where the person is able to have a Shvisa. He's able to have Shabbos Yom Kippur. He's able to have Yom Kippur when he comes to that place where he's lifted up to a different Madrega, where he's able to have a Shvisa, a taste of Shvisa, of pausing, of stopping from the turbulent noise of the Tam Tachtein, from the lower taste of the will, from the lower taste of desire, from the lower taste of life. And then he has, when he's saying, Hashem Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, he has a taste of the Tam Elyon, of an Oynig that's higher than any of the Tanugim, L'Sanig L'Sanugim. And that's exactly what the Ramchal says was the purpose of man's creation. And that's how he begins the Sefer. V'hini ma'ashayru, ma'ashayrunu ha'kachomim zalhu, sh'ha'odam lo'y nivra elu l'Sanig al Hashem. Whoever learned Mesir Shom knows that. The Ramchal begins by saying the Chazal have taught us that we were created for one purpose. And then he shocks us. And he says the purpose of creation is Sha'adam lo nivra ella what? So he thought it's going to be Tesafot. Sha'adam lo nivra ella l'is'aneg al Hashem u'lehenois mizir shchinasai. To delight in Hashem. To have great pleasure in the splendor of Hashem's presence. She'zeu latanuk ha'amiti. That is true tanuk. That's the deepest tanuk. But if you don't have a shvisa, if you don't put in a stop, if you don't have a shvita, if this world is never on strike in your life, if there's no Yom Kippur, especially Shabbos Yom Kippur, when the two Shabbos and Mamash come together, where the oinig of Shabbos is itself the oinig of not eating, it's the oinig of being in that place of Hashem Elokim. But if there's never any stop, if there's never any pause, so the person, the Jew, can go his entire life with his make-believe, with all of his tzatzkelech, and he thinks that's the biggest tanug. The biggest, biggest, most exciting thing is that they came out with Windows 2012. Oh, and he gets online with the rest of the golems over there. People, they stand, I heard that people go long, they stand on lines, all kinds of things, like they did for the, when the Cabbage Patch came out, that doll, remember years ago? The ugliest doll you ever saw. And I realized after, I found that there was a yid that was behind all of that. So then we had Nachas Ruach, that some yid made millions of dollars off of idiots, millions of idiots. People standing on line to buy some ugly, gruesome little thing. And which became right away, basically spilled after, was nobody even, sitting down in basements and who knows where. And shamelessly put it, maybe. I know they gave it a birthday and it had a yard site and said, hope. This world. The Tam Tachtein of this world. And you keep it to have a little bit of a Tam, a little bit of a taste of that L'Sanig al Hashem. To be able to have that telescope in the hands for a little bit of the world that the Baruch Shalom has waiting for each and every one of us. That can only be when a person has a Shvisa from the Shtusim, from the Havolim, from the silliness, from the Narishkai. When a person is able to come to that place to have, to experience the Oinig of the Akira of his Ratzin, the uprooting, the moving, the transference of the Ratzin from that silliness. And then that same chiyus, that same excitement, that same joy and thrill that a person has in a Vlad Gemara, in learning a Tosfos, in doing something good for a friend, in a Geshmak Yedavening. L'Sanig al Hashem. Again, this is what the Oros HaMeach, I believe, is saying. L'chein v'yom ha-kippurim shechal b'shabbos, b'chol l'sh'yesh b'yesh ha-kamesh v'tzorek l'achol, moira ani, the Oros HaMeach says, if a person has to eat on Shabbos, he's sick, I paskin, d'loy m'kadeh shal Shabbos. There's no meaning of suda Shabbos, to make kiddush on Shabbos. Why? V'zu kiddusha Shabbos oz. Because the kiddusha of Shabbos means the whole oinig of Shabbos, the whole pleasure of Shabbos, is what? Shaloi l'achol b'ay. Is davke shaloi l'achol b'ay. Not, is davke not eating. The person who's sick doesn't have a choice. So he, unfortunately, has to go down from that higher time and give his neshama, and he has to eat. He doesn't enjoy it. He's not happy about it. He's crying. He's upset. And he'd rather not do it. Because on Yom Kippur, he knows that that's not what it means to be a Jew. He knows that the deepest tonic is not to eat. The deepest tonic is to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this advice is what we've been talking about here in the shul all the years. And there's no time to go into the whole Indian. The people who are here, day after day, know that there's something that we talk about, we work on all the time. What's it going to take until it becomes clear that the only way that we could save this generation, the secret to saving our generation, is not how we can pull out more plugs for more machines. They're always ahead of us. They've always got other machines. And just when you thought you could control what your kid is sending text messages, so then someone told me last year that the kid can go to a store and get a disposable something, a cell phone, that nobody even knows about. There's no bill that's ever sent to the house. He's able to get something else. There's always some other way. When a person is in this world, there's always a way. So they could have 1,000 conferences and meetings about how do we take away the pleasures of the children of this generation. And if we could take away all of their pleasures, and we make new yeshivas where there's no sports, no smiling, smiling's not allowed, no laughing, no happiness, no recess, anybody that's caught wearing this, or anybody that's caught with a smile in the kingdom of sadness will be banished from the school forever, which also means that all of your sisters and brothers will never get shidduchim. We'll think of new ways how we could save the generation. There's only one way. The only way to save the generation, and it's our responsibility, is to show them a Yiddishkeit, to sow geschmack, to lift them up to a place that's called Al-Chait. Higher than that stuff. Do you think Reb Chaim Kanievsky is interested in the internet? He never spoke on the phone in his life, you know that? Why? Doesn't he have a title for that? The answer is, Kulot Tzarich Lezeh. Alright, that's sadly to say, we don't understand what that means. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He wrote a whole sefer like this on Egla Arufa. You know how to spell Egla Arufa? He wrote a whole sefer on Egla Arufa. When you take a kid, from here, from the street, from the Shusharab, and you oiker him, and you transfer him to where, to Yerushalayim, or even better, maybe sometimes outside Yerushalayim somewhere, and he's able to have a good shir and a nice chevra, and he begins for the first time in his life to taste what it means to live. Amigal Hashem. That's how we win the war against the tumah. The war against the internet, the war against, of course we have to do whatever they can to make this kind of to use different hamsa'ot to try to fight against it, of course. But we're missing the point. The point is that it has to be Yiddishkeit with Amigal Hashem. And there's nothing that's more beautiful than a black gemara. There's nothing that's more geschmack than a niggin, than a davening, a lebedik, a davening, a warm davening. There's nothing that's more geschmack than dibur chaverim in the yeshiva through the night, to sit together and to learn the svarim and to talk about the Rabbanu Shlom, to make a Yiddishkeit that's al chait. Because we're not winning the war. We can't win the war because they're coming out with a million things and the kids are not in the place of understanding that. So they see stuff in color and they see this and they see that and a new gimmick and a new gadget and then they meet up with this new girl and this new guy and there's a million things going on. And then we're going to say, what? So what are we going to do? We're going to kill all the girls? That's what they're going to do in the yeshiva world. They have to kill all the girls. That's where it's up to. I'm sorry, ladies. If you're over 20, no, maybe if you're over 40, you're puzzled. Anybody till 40? Call Abbas HaYeloid Ya'irat HaShli Chuhi into the river because the guy can't handle it. What do you want from the guy, Zachmanis? The Baruch Hu made such a mother to bring you, and then what do you want from them? So we have to think of a way. There's going to be a big meeting and they're going to try to figure out what are we going to do with the girls, the Baruch Hu. There are too many of them. We've got to get rid of them. Let's put them all in one place because then the Baruch Hu will be okay. All the neighbors, they don't know what to do. Borough Park, Williamsburg, Muncie, Monroe, no place is puffed anymore. There are no walls anymore. The computer took away the walls. When we were kids, you grew up in Williamsburg, you were away from the world. You go a little bit on the BQE, you enter into those few blocks, and you're over there by you went off by Weiss, and you came to Liev, and you were to Bedford, and you went over there to Radney, and you were by yourself. You were in the Rishus HaYachid. That's gone. If the world became one huge Rishus HaRabin. It's a big mess, it's a Rishus HaRabin. But the Baruch Hu put it at this time. And if you go to the Sfarim stores and you see the Sfarim that are coming out, and you see that you hear the Negunim that are coming out, and you see the Baruch Shalom gave us a way of Al-Khayt, always he gives us a way of Al-Khayt, always. To be higher than that world that we're challenged by. That's where we have to take our kids. In our homes, with Zmiris, with Avoyda, with Simcha, with all the Yiddishkeit and Yeshiva, and Avoyda to lift up to a place that's high, that's Al-Khayt. That's what it means. Ilmol Yishom Yisro Shtei Shabbosais. If only we would keep these two Shabbos, oh, in Miyad Nigolim, it would be a Geula. The two Shabbos, if we would only understand that, we would only live with that side, that there's such a thing as an Oynig of Lis'anig al Hashem, of Hashem Elokim, that's more exciting, that's more fun than the latest computer that came out, to be a Jew. What that means to be a Jew. May tell you a story from Levi Yitzchak. Reb Levi Yitzchak. Not from Berditchev, from my grandson, Levi Yitzchak from Woodmere. Who we hope is going to grow up to be his namesake. We named our daughter is Suri, so it's Levi Yitzchak and Sarah. So if we would have realized that, we'd have called her Sarah Sasha. We almost, it was almost. So Siri told me the other day, Daddy, you know, like this, for this time of the year especially, this thing that the Levi Yitzchak would happen, but he said, what was it? They were in camp in August. My son-in-law, Vissel Simchi was teaching over there in the camp, and the kids had a blast. They were in the country, they had a good time, and they were talking about what they miss from the mountains. So Siri said that first, she asked Chayla, what do you miss? So Chayla said that she misses the food. I guess that's insulting for a mother to answer, but you know, camp food, but I guess there was something about that. So she said she misses the food. And then Elishava, what do you miss about the country? So she said she misses her friends from the country. It's already a different madrega. She misses her friends from the country. And then she asked Levi Yitzchak, so what do you miss? So he said this, and I'm not saying this to show off my grandson. I remember how much I suffer from people doing that to me, and I try not to do that. Don't ever catch me with pictures or anything like that. But Levi Yitzchak said this. He said, what I miss is the feeling of when we came home, how exciting it was to be back in our house. And I don't feel that the whole year. I felt it when we came back. I miss that feeling. It's a meridika daher. No, it's a hergish of a person in a little child's mind to put into words what we were dreaming about last Moshe Shabbos, the Slichus talking about. Remember coming home? And what it means to be what it means for a Jew to be in the Rishus HaRadim of this world, to get lost in the world, and this time of the year, not to chalila feel this time of the year, it's Aseres HaMetshuva Yom Kippur, not to feel, God forbid, any sense of dread. Oy vey, what's going to be? It's Yom Kippur. Next Shabbos is such a hard day, and such a long davening, and we have to fast, and all of that, and then this week we got to do this, and can't do that, we have to watch out, and have to think, and so on and so forth. All of those machshavas are from galus. All of those thoughts are not tshuva thoughts. The deepest thought of tshuva is exactly what the little boy said, what Levi Yitzchak said. What could be more gishmak than coming home to who we are? And the rest of the year we don't have that excitement of Masi Yom Kippur. It's very hard to tap into that, to get back to that feeling of coming home. I want to end and share with you a poem from Rav Kook. It's called Lachashei HaHavaya. In English, it's translated the whispers of existence. I'm going to read you a translation. The Hebrew is much, much, much more beautiful, but it's very hard. So there was a Yid that translated it. It's not exact, but it's very nice. It's called The Whispers of Existence. It's hard to listen, but I didn't want to start hard studying for everybody. It takes a minute. Listen carefully. All existence whispers to me a secret. I have life to offer. Take it. Take it. If you have a heart, and in the heart red blood courses, which despair has not soiled, but if your heart is dulled, and beauty holds no spell to you, existence whispers, leave me, leave, I am forbidden to you. If every gentle sound, every living beauty, stir you not to a holy song, but to some alien thought, then leave me, leave, I am forbidden to you. And a generation will yet arise, and sing to beauty and to life, and draw delight unending from the dew of heaven. And if people return to life will hear the wealth of life's secrets from the vistas of the Carmel and the Sharon, and from the delight of song and life's beauty, a holy light will abound, and all existence will whisper, my beloved, I am committed to you. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's what it means when Mashiach will come. When all of existence will whisper to each and every one of us, my beloved, I'm committed to you. That's what life is. But before that time, our avoid is the avoid of Akiris HaRatzon. Hashem is Baruch should help each and every one of us. But whatever, if anything, Chalila, if any of us in any way has something written about us in one book, that it should be lifted off of that page and put into the Sifrim Shel Tzadikim. That it should be a year, each and every one of us should be able to grow. Each and every one of us should make this year better than last year. And that all of us should see each other in good health, together in Yishalayim, with the Gula Hashem V'Amitis, from Hebe Amin, Amen V'Amen.